The following program is an exclusive Disruption Networks production.
The Baseline is back with all new episodes every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on Disruption Network. The complete rundown of news and notes around Major League Baseball. Get caught up with fantasy rankings, predictions, league leaders, standings, and more. Join JP and SPG as they bring you original segments like 3 Up, 3 Down, The Haps on the Haps, Tip of the Cap, and The Field Report.
Don't find yourself out of the baseline.
Join the baseline every Sunday night, all season long, only on the D.
Hey, it's Cassidy, and you're listening to Disruption Network.
So you just bought your dream home, and now it's time to move. Let's face it, nobody likes to move. All the packing, unpacking, lifting, upstairs, downstairs, and breaking everything, including your back. Let the professionals at EJA Moving Company take all the stress and pain out of your move. Competitively priced moving. Relocation services, office moves, and complete packing and unpacking services. They work with everybody to make it simple and easy for you to move and relocate. Call EJA Moving Company at 315-335-0516. When it's time to relocate, have EJA Moving do all the work for you. Hit them up online, ejamoving.com.
Hey, Disruption Network. This is Mike Sacco, the general manager at Nye Volkswagen of Rome. If you don't know me by name, it's only because you have not received the best deal. There's only one reason to leave Utica, and that's to come see me in Rome and get the best deal on your next new, pre-owned, or certified VW. Mention that you heard this ad from Disruption Network and receive $250 off your next vehicle purchase. You'll know why our customers say, I love my Nye VW. Come see us at 5865 Rome Taberg Road in Rome or visit us online at NYVWofRome.com.
Want to know what's going on at the D? Hit up DisruptionNetwork.net and check out our events calendar brought to you by the Events Co. Find out about upcoming guests, special events, concerts, show schedules, community activities, and more. Get connected at DisruptionNetwork.net.
The Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley was born when three top producing agents with over 25 years of combined experience selling real estate joined forces to take real estate to the next level. We practice with honesty, integrity, and the knowledge to help make the buying and selling process easy and stress-free for all of our clients. We pledge to always make our clients our top priority from start to finish and even after the house is closed. We will always be a valued resource for information and assistance for our buyers and sellers. Our customers over the years have become not only past clients, but great friends. As we join hands together as the Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley, we look forward to serving our clients and our community and making a positive difference. You can reach us at 315-601-9630 for all of your real estate needs.
The Disruption Network is making moves. For upcoming events, news, interviews, and new daily programming, keep in the loop with us at DisruptionNetwork.net. Like, follow, and subscribe to all our social media. And check out all our podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. Get up on the D. DisruptionNetwork.net.
Welcome to EC Radio Podcast. We would like to thank all of our sponsors for joining the Disruption team, and we hope that you will support all of our sponsors. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this program.
Disruption Networks.
We're back, baby. Blaring in the headphones. What's happening, everybody? Live and direct on the D. It is EC Radio time. It is that distorted little voice coming into your ear hole. It is I. It is me, Z. What's up, everybody? Hope you're enjoying your Monday. We are kicking it today with my man Danny in the water, Mike Lash Bomb in the house, as well as my man Anthony Colenso. Before we get into everything, I got to give love and respect out to the sponsors. Nice, guys. See? You guys like each other. You guys look like you'd be related, too, by the way. Anyways, love and respect out to the sponsors. Give it up for Utica Coffee Roasters. WakeTheHellUp.com. Check them out online. The best coffee in the world. Today, Colenso, check this out. You know what I'm drinking today?
What are you drinking?
A little mix of Utica Buzz mixed up with milk chocolate.
What kind of milk chocolate?
Milk chocolate coffee from Utica Coffee.
There's a milk chocolate coffee.
They have, and you got to smell it. It smells like Willy Wonka's house.
Ooh, I can't wait.
When you open up the bag and smell it, it's just a wonderful aroma of chocolate.
So do you squeeze the bag to try and get the smell?
Not only do I squeeze the bag, but I kind of like just kind of waft it, you know? Waft it.
So after you open it, that's when you get the good waft? Or do you squeeze the bag? Because they have like those little vent holes that are on the bag.
You're a vent hole. No, there is some good stuff that they got going on. Utica Coffee makes some of the best coffee. You're not really a coffee drinker, are you?
I love coffee.
You are?
Have you had the pistachio from Utica? From Utica? Oh, it's the best.
Dude.
It's fantastic,
it
man.
It is fantastic. They make some good product over there. WakeTheHellUp.com. Check them out online. Also, Wednesday, Colenso. What are you doing Wednesday?
I'm off. What are we doing?
Quality of life sweep, round three.
Bingo. I'm in. What time?
11 a.m. City Hall.
11 a.m.?
So what
we get there
do,
around 10:30. We pregame a little bit.
No.
We pep ourselves up.
Get there at 11 because the buses are coming after 11.
Now. Oh, okay.
They switched up the times on
us. You know I like to be early. If you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late.
Punctual.
He is very punctual.
Boom.
I learned it from him, actually.
I beat you a little bit, though. I had you by 10 minutes.
Yeah, man.
Maybe 8, maybe 7 minutes earlier.
You were early, too.
I was actually stuck behind a procession. I'm not going to lie.
But we're having a procession with Mayor Palmieri on Wednesday, brother. It's going down at 11 a.m. Everybody meets up at City Hall, and what we do is we hop on a couple buses, and we're going to clean up the streets of Utica.
We had a great time that year.
This is our third year in a row.
I did it the first year.
You did it the first year? And remember, it was hot that day?
Oh, it was like the only hot day that we had. It was like one of the first hot days, and then it just became, you know, your typical Central New York weather.
Yeah. Great, but
it was a great day.
It really
perfect
was.
Perfect turnout.
I got to give love and respect out to the Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley. They are the one providing the t-shirts. So if you want to come in and help us participate in the Quality of Life sweep on Wednesday, first 50 people get a free D t-shirt.
Really?
Yeah, they're pretty cool too. They're all bright, fluorescent.
Oh, cool.
Because we're going to be on the streets cleaning up. We don't want anybody to get hit by cars.
I know. In our typical blacks, you know?
Right, exactly. Public safety is a big concern around the D. That's for damn sure. But come on out on Wednesday and help us with the Quality of Life sweep. Mike, come on out. Bring a guitar. You could be our entertainment, man.
Oh, dude, that's not a bad idea. I'm actually going to be getting my car fixed in Hamilton for like next 2 days, so I've got limbo time, so that might be something I could jump on.
How about that?
I'll pick you up.
Dude,
I'll take
up
the doors
the
off the Jeep.
I dig that. My brother actually works with Sustainable Saratoga planting trees.
Really?
And, yeah, so he volunteers with that. I think that's awesome. I think it's an awesome city, and I think that's really cool you guys are doing that.
3 years in a row, man.
That's awesome.
But you know what it is? A lot of people complain about the potholes. There's so many complaints, but no one's out there actually taking action.
Bingo.
We like to take action.
Fantastic.
And I know we got about 25, 30 people showing up too.
Wow.
Already. So I told them to get another bus. I talked to the mayor today. I said, get another bus.
Get another bus.
Just in case.
Get a big bus.
Z said so. Z said, get another bus.
Get the big bus.
Yeah. Instead of the short bus, which we all belong on, get a larger one.
Yeah.
It's going down on Wednesday. I'm looking forward to it. Big ups to EJA Moving Service and also Nye Volkswagen in Rome. If you're in the market for a new Volkswagen, mention the D at Nye Volkswagen. They're going to give you $250 off any vehicle purchase. NyeVWRome.com. So, what's going on, fellas? Michael Lashbaum. Lashbaum? How do you say your name?
It's actually formerly Lashbaum. It's French-Canadian. But when I was living in Cleveland, everyone said Lashbaum, and I think that kind of trickled when I came up here. But it's Lashbaum. You can call me Lashbaum, though.
Lashbaum sounds fun.
I think Lashbaum sounds more sexier, though.
Yeah.
I got to say that with some French sex appeal.
Yeah, like mid-conversation. Yeah, my name is Michael Lashbaum.
Yeah.
What do you
do
think
it again.
Of me? Like that.
See? Welcome to the show, man.
I'm stoked to be here, dude. This is awesome.
Let me tell you, man, Annie in the Water has been a name around Central New York for a good about 5-6 years now.
Yeah, man.
Is that right? Correct by saying that?
Yep. It's been about, we started in Watertown.
Oh, and we got Tess here, too. I forgot to mention Tess. Tess is cute. In fact, we should have talked to Tess before I talked to you two.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, she'll talk. My dog's here. Thank you so much for letting her be in here.
Of course. I like dogs more than I like people.
Yeah, she loves it. So, so I moved here, we started working here about like 10 years ago, actually, as like a duo acoustic, actually at Hobart College. And then we started coming down the Utica way, playing shows and gigging about like 7 to 8 years ago, but only until about, I think it was like when we started doing the Saranac Thursdays. what it was like, we are playing music in Utica now. You know, like that opened up a really big
Yeah, man,
for
you guys
us.
Were like playing on some pallets over at like the Saranac Brewery, like in between bands. I'm like, yeah, that's the way to do it, man. I saw that.
Stacy Waterman came up with that idea. By the way, give it up for Stacy. I love Stacy. She's
that's
cool.
the boss,
She's
baby.
That's her.
Man. Cool cat.
That's
the boss.
Her, man.
I was with her all weekend. We had a blast. This weekend, too, and I'm glad you brought up her name because this weekend was pretty epic. Well, just like every weekend from here on out is going to be epic. But we had Joe Jackson at the Palace on Friday, which was cool.
Nice.
Stepping out. Dee-dee, stepping out. Remember that one? It's like a Mom Drive Me to School song.
Yeah.
You know? And then on Saturday, the Revivalist over at Paper Mill. And that was a kick-ass show. If you guys haven't seen the Revivalist at all, go check them out. That's a high-energy show.
Yeah.
And
that's
then awesome. Get the Let Out. You were at Get the Let Out on Friday, right?
That
or Saturday?
Oh, great. Great weather, too, man. It was fantastic.
Finally.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, that's Saturday.
I know.
Saturday, that was banger good.
What a day that was, man. Like how many people were at Paper Mill?
There was a good chunk.
Good chunk.
Yeah, there was like, I don't know, 14, something like that. I have no
that's
idea.
That's a good chunk.
But it was good. It was packed on the island. It was great vibes, and the people were having a great time. And
it's an awesome area down there, man.
Have you guys played over there?
We played. We opened up for Naco and Medicine for the People.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Okay, that's right. I do remember
good
that.
Show,
it was,
good
it was
show.
An awesome show. And like there's still, I'd probably say like there was maybe, I think five to maybe six, maybe. But we had a torrential downpour, and like, everyone was there, and they were acting like, no problem at all.
It's mega.
Yeah. He's probably got his dog, too. We don't need any of that.
Oh, yeah. Tess, come on. Come here. Tess. Come here. Tess. Tess, come on.
Tell him I'm busy. I'm on the air.
We'll come back another time. Tess. Tess, come
on. We don't want any.
Tess. Anyways.
So we were at
I told
you,
this
mill.
Is why we got to lock the doors in the neighborhood. You see why.
Dude, so I actually was just working up in a studio in Keene, New York, in the Adirondacks, and, like, the same thing would happen. We had to build, like, a sign that was, like, recording, like, not hanging right now. But it's cool that, like, when you build a hub, you know what I mean? And people want to be a part of that.
Exactly.
And, like, when people know that there's cool stuff going on it, it's really cool. And, like, all the neighbors that came in when I was working at the studio up in Keene last year, or like all like honky cool, like subdued, like country, like mountain folks. So when they came in, they were always just like, you want to hang out, man? You want to burn? Just like chill. And I'm like, yeah, but I'd like have a lot of recording. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. That's fine.
Let's take a quick break.
Producer's like, you're cool with that, right? I'm like, I mean, time is an illusion, right?
Yeah, see, I'm glad I brought you in today, Mike. You're going to make my energy feel more cleansed, I think.
Cool, man.
You do have that comforting nature about you, though.
Really?
You do. Like, you're easy to talk to, and you've got a really cool vibe, demeanor about yourself, and you carry yourself, you know, just in a spiritual kind of way. And it's inviting, man, and that's why people like you so much and are attracted to Annie in the Water.
Thank you. Because
of the vibe you guys put out.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. And the thing that's really cool is I've been, like, meaning to have a hang with you because we've never had a big hang. And, like, I'm like, Anthony, love this cat, by the way, like, with...
That's my man.
With awesome security in the area. And that's why I was, like, super stoked. I think Ray Brothers is when we started doing that. Ray Brothers, I think. It was...
Very well could have been. But, you know, definitely the Saranac shows because, you know, that's, you know, full exposure, especially when, you know, you're doing your thing, I'm doing my thing. And then when you're on break is when, you know, the main act is playing and then you're able to go out and go hang. And I think we were able to, you know... That worlds collide at that kind of point.
Absolutely.
You know?
And that's what's like really cool about this area too, because I remember with like Utica, there's different pockets, you know, there's Cuse, there's Rochester, there's Western New York, there's Albany or whatever there is going on in Albany. Love Albany, but the music scene is questionable there. But Utica off 90 and everything, it's just like I went to Woodland Brewery, by the way.
Great place.
Yesterday, this gentleman, Tom, he goes and sees
it's right over by my house.
Yeah. Right off 12. And, dude, their beer's awesome, by the way. And it was a beautiful day. And, like, all of these fans that have watched us, like, at, like, Woods Valley and stuff, like, little smaller, honkier joints, you know? And, like, they're just, like, it was, like, Sunday at 4 in the afternoon, and it was raging like a Saturday night. Like, it was just, like... It's just an awesome scene here, and we started coming down here and playing, and, like, we're just, like, to see that, like, now we're really growing, and it's, like, it's just building more and more and more. It's really cool. It's, the whole environment is just so inviting for, you know, music and everything in this area, so I love it. And I'm super stoked to talk to you because I remember Brad and I, you're going to love the story. Brad and I went into Electric Factory.
Company.
Thank you.
Scratch that.
Uh-oh. Can we, wait.
Was I a dick?
Do you edit? Do you edit these?
I don't. I don't like to edit. It's too much work.
The manager's going to kill me. It's
closed.
Yeah, dude, the chair and everything. I loved it. The shit was awesome. No, you weren't there. Okay. But we left you like those clear wrap like CDs and like a blank CD and of like old Anning Water business card, and like looking at it now, I'm like, what were we doing? It was when Brad and I were just duos, like dropping off the Electric Factory. I'm like,
a company. You're two for two.
Okay. Isn't the Electric Factory in like Idaho?
Philly. Yeah, it's huge. I mean,
no,
it's
the
one of the
factory.
Biggest venues in the United States too, by the way. So I mean, rightfully so, he gets it mixed up. I mean, people got it mixed up for 10 years too.
Electric Company, yeah.
The company.
And I was like, Brad, we can't come in here and play here until we build this thing up, bro. We can't come do acoustics in this place. We got to shred the shit.
When did you drop it off,
dude? That must have been honestly like 2011. That was like
back probably, in 2011,
dude. When we were trying to get in the scene, because you know, like you ask somebody, you'd be like, hey, where would our band be good for? Like. Honestly, like Woodland Tavern for Brad and I when we first started to do acoustic would have been perfect for us. Electric Factory, like we didn't have anything in production.
Three for three.
Oh no.
Get out.
I just lost it. Electric Company. Man, I don't know how I'm messing that up so bad.
They call it dope, Mike.
Yeah. Oh yes. I seem to have forgotten. But yeah, Electric Company. And it was just the funniest thing that like now it's like, man, I wish Electric Company was open because I wanted to play that stage. Big square stage. The front's right out front. I remember it clear as day.
Yeah, we had some good times, man.
We had some great times.
Yeah, it was
not
fun.
Just some good times, man.
You guys would
the best times.
You guys would have killed there, though. I know you would. And that's the one thing I used to tell the bands too back in the day. If you give it a good 2-3 times to establish that fan base, it will happen if you're good enough.
Yeah, totally.
And that is, you guys are case in point in that. You've kept coming back, coming back, and the numbers have increased for you guys. So it's good to see. It just shows that you guys are working hard.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that, dude. It's an awesome scene.
Hell yeah, dude. Like, and it's really cool because the way that you guys have been playing, like kind of like really filling yourselves up in the scene and like just really coming out and playing, you know, it really gave us, you know, as fans, like something to latch onto. Like, oh, they're playing. Oh, they're playing. Oh, they're playing. Yeah. So it's like, it really just builds up, and it's really cool that we actually get to go out and go see you and, you know, enjoy your music and, you know, have, like, the times that we used to have, you know?
Yeah, for real. Really, and you guys cool. Give like, off that vibe, too.
The other thing... You brought that vibe back, man, and it's really cool.
Thank you so
like,
much,
it's really
man.
Cool.
The
oh,
other
man,
thing
I'm going to start crying here, dude.
Well, there's the other thing I'm going to give you praise on doing, too. Back in the 90s, there was a lot of great jam bands in the area that were doing the I-90 circuit.
Yep.
And somewhere that fell off. I don't know where it fell off, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't that I-90 corridor touring band anymore, hitting the regions, hitting from Albany to Buffalo and up into Watertown and
yep.
then down into Ithaca. And you guys are doing that. And there were so many of those bands back in the day. And now I'm starting to see a lot more of those bands coming back.
Yep, yep.
Well, not those bands from the 90s, but newer bands that mm-hmm. are doing the same run as all these bands did back then. And,
yeah.
and you guys remind me a lot of that.
Thanks. Yeah, there's definitely like aspects of the scene that like should never get lost in translation because it's practical and actually makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a lot of it comes down to like networking management and all that other stuff too is there's a lot of stuff in platforms from the early 90s. Like I used to study like all those different bands, like just how they function too. And it really made a difference as to like how we started booking, how we made relationships with people. Like we still haven't signed. We have a personal manager, tour manager that works with us directly. And Anning the Water is its own entity business wise and everything, yada, yada. But we just incorporate all these older forms of networking and working and just realizing that it's like you just if you hit those spots and you go back and you space them out, you know, don't go smacking them 2 weeks in a row, you're not going to do anything. But we just used these like different forms that worked, and like now it's just Utica's fantastic, man. And we played at the Dev actually last year. We had the Dev was a duo acoustic. And it was packed. It was
great
like,
time.
Crazy
I was there.
Packed. Yeah. We brought the whole like light rig and everything, dude, and like fogged the crap out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, man. It was great.
It got to come back to the Dev.
Yeah.
Great spot
again.
For him, too.
Yeah, perfect spot for you guys.
Yeah, I think we want to try and get the full band up there. It's just a question of production sizing because we like to travel with the light show. Well, we always travel with the light show, make sure it's good. And
But the Dev is too small for that.
I think we might be able to figure it out. We might just be able to figure it out. I don't know. Z, you're gonna have to go, bro.
Just yeah. A little oh bit, yeah. Man. You gotta. We need some Z consulting.
Well, we'll make a disruption party. We'll make it a D party.
We'll make it a big D party.
Put it over the top.
Totally, dude. I'm way into it.
I love it. That's great, man. So, do we expect you guys playing a lot around Utica this summer? I know you guys got a date at the Harp.
Yep.
That's coming soon, right?
Yep. We got the after party for Pepper. So we're really, really stoked about that. And we have Woods Fest, actually, at Woods Valley. That's in Rome. You know, it's not as close to Utica. But that's a really great one that we have in August. So
big ups to Mike Coley.
Yeah,
great man.
Mike, yeah. Mike's a good dude, and he's super passionate about the music. And what we're going to be doing in Utica is we're trying to figure out a test.
Don't hit that, doggy.
Test, come here.
You can hang out with me, doggy. Yeah, I love you.
Dude, that tail is so powerful.
Yeah, that tail is going to shut off the computer. Yeah.
So we have a couple shows that we're going to be doing in Utica. We're trying to space them out a little bit, though. So it's like each month we're going to be doing shows. We've got some show announcements coming up, but we want to make sure that we keep those. You know, down for right now.
When's the Pepper show? Do I have it up there? Is the Pepper show up there?
I think that's like what, July 11th?
Yeah,
July 11th.
That's right.
Okay.
Remember July? Yep.
July 11th. That's a Thursday, I think.
Yes, because
what a weekend.
The 8th is a Monday.
And that's Boilermaker weekend, correct?
Yeah.
Whoo!
No. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's going to be a wild one right there.
Oh, man. That's
the thing about summertime, because we only get like a month full of summer here in upstate New York. So you got to cram all these events into like 5 days.
Oh my God!
It's crazy.
It's action packed.
The talent that's been coming through here, even like always before, but like I feel like the past like 3 summers, like creatives totally upped the game.
Oh, big
like,
time.
With the scheduling, you guys are doing a great job with that. But it's really cool to see the diversity that's coming through there and everything, you know. And it's always good to go there, because it's like when I don't play on the stage, like I get to just hang out, dude. It's like the amount of like collective like. Energy, everyone's going to shows here. Like, people come out to shows, and I'm just like, man, why can't every town be like this?
Now, is that true? There's a lot of towns that are just completely desolate.
Well, I mean, you have to be like so crafty with your scheduling. Like, you got to like work with big events or something. Like, we love Vermont. We were living in Vermont for a little while, and like, it's just you have like medium towns in between there. You're just not going to get hits. There's some even like my town in Watertown, my hometown. We have a good crowd that comes out all the time now too, but there's just a lull sometimes where you're like you're just not going to get it. I think that happens sometimes around like November and February. You know, anywhere else, but there's some places like we played the Dev in February and like dude, it was solid.
Yeah.
You know, and it's I think some places like resonate with your music differently. Like we do well in Burlington. We do well in parts of Vermont. We do well in like Boston and New York and stuff, but.
And what clubs do you play at when you go to like Boston and Vermont? Like, what are your places that you go to that you know people would collectively come, and you know come enjoy your music?
Yeah, we actually just did a little run over to Massachusetts. We did this Newburyport Brewery, which was like this like Friday thing they do, and it was huge. We had people from like all over Watertown, Albany. And it's really weird. We got a lot of people that have gone from upstate New York over there. So we played that little spot. The last time we played in Boston, we actually opened up for Twiddle. That was 2 years ago, going in November at the Paradise.
Nice.
And that was super awesome.
I saw Mob Blue over at the Paradise. That's a cool club.
Dude, it is. It's wide, dude. It's so wide.
It is.
It's like surrounded. It's like it's like everyone's like, well, watching you play music, like I can't go anywhere. I cannot escape this. And that was super cool just to see that. Like I remember like one time I did the whole like 180, like looked everybody in the eyes, like, and then I just like combed it, and like it was just like this wild moment that I've just never had before of just like I was like hoping my head didn't go 360 or else they'd be like, hey, it's crazy. But it was so sick. So that was a fun time. But yeah, and then New York, we did the Knitting Factory for Halloween a little while ago, or last Halloween.
Not the Electric Factory.
It's Company, I thought. Wait, is it Electric Company?
This is not the venue you're looking for.
Oh, yeah. No, they don't have an Electric Company down there, unfortunately. I wish they did. With that chair and everything. Put the chair in there.
The electric chair that we had in there for a while?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
What What mannequin was in that?
I don't know. One of the mannequins. Anyways, we're talking about the Knitting Factory that you guys played down at the Knitting Factory.
Did that.
Before then, we go down a rabbit hole, because we will.
There's another place called Drom. Mm-hmm. I personally like Drom. It's like wicked high ceiling, but it's like this old, like, kind of like old, like, high ceiling, like, cocktail lounge, but they clear all the seats out, and it just becomes this, like, and everything's like that kind of, like, dark, velvety, like, tarps, or not tarps, sound absorbent. I always forget what those are. Curtains. Hi. Curtains. Yeah. Electric company, by the way.
And we're back.
Cool. Here we are. But we played there, and that was one of my more favorite venues, because the bar's in the back. Everyone just, it's just the vibe was off the charts. Because that's the thing, is like, you could have a great room, like, typically great, brings great bands in there, but like, if the sound feels good and like the crowd responds really well, like, it's like, tag that one again. Got to go back there. Mm-hmm. So our approach now is more or less like, when we perform, does it like different venues have a completely different energy, you know? And like, some of the places, like, everyone says you got to get in there, they got to get in there, and you go in that show, you're like, you know, that's pretty good. And then you go into like another joint that's like a honky different joint, and you just pack it out, and people are going ape. We've started doing different things where we're like doing special events at these places now, where we're not even going to some of the main venues, only because we just get this experience that's like, it just, the room creates it. You don't know, like, who knows, you know, like the vibes in there, you know, or whatever spirits were there before, it just builds something incredible, you know. Even, and I felt, and that was the Dev, when we played just a duo with the Dev, like, it was the duo looping. You would have thought that it was our full band. Like, there was some juice in that room, man. Like, it was just charged to the T, you know?
Yeah, you guys were pumping.
Yeah.
Well, it's an old school music vibe in that place. I mean, live music's been relevant in that room for as long as I can remember.
Yeah,
you know?
They played at the, like, right at the front windows when you walk in the door.
Right, yep. Right. Stage is still there, the old stage. In fact, that front door, it was just a wall there, like where the stage is now, and those booths and stuff like that was never there back in the, even in the 80s and into the, I don't know, late 90s is when they knocked it down.
Yeah, it's an old, like, but there's been bands playing there for like a long time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Years and years. And
yeah. We had a,
you could feel it though, playing up there, right? I've played there a few times, and you could feel that vibe at the Dev.
Totally.
There's something about that place.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was super, super awesome there. And it was like, that was really cool to find that, because typically what we've been doing is coming through and working with creative with events in Utica. But like, we want to have it more so that we can have more events that we can, you know, because you know how it goes, like with production and, you know, with the traveling band now, nationally traveling band, there's a lot of overhead and everything. But you want to do stuff because it's like, there's like a value point that you do something special, like with the group of people that are there. They're like, when they're done with that show, they're like, it's not even about like us playing. It's like this whole thing happens, you know? And sometimes you're just like, man, like I could do that for the rest of my life for no money, you know? And, then again, you got to run a business. So you got to be
right.
And it's a band.
And you need dog food.
And we need trucks. Yeah. And we need, we need more cables. We need more microphone
stands.
You
always need more cables.
Microphone stands and cables, dude.
Mm-hmm.
We were right in the middle of a show at Barrel House this weekend. And I feel bad for Matt. Matt, our manager, Matt Strong, by the way, got to shout him out because he works his absolute tail off. Literally, we were this morning putting his new stage in at the Riverboat, and he's like trying to hightail it back up here to hang out and everything. But he just does everything. And we have in-ear monitors now and everything for the shows.
Nice.
And our whole board mix just wiped out.
No.
Like, just a wicked, weird crash. And like, we're there like last minute, like dialing it in, and people are sitting there waiting, you know, And next thing you know, the sub goes out, and like, he's in the middle of stuff, and we're like, first song, I was like, don't worry, we'll keep on going for it, we'll run it. It's okay. It's like, it's okay, everything's cool, which it was, but next thing you know, he's like, ha, ha. Sub comes out, and he's like, here we go, you know, it's just like, cables, man, the damn, this.
They get dirty.
Yeah, they do.
They get dirty.
As much as we love technology, too. It can really put a damper on things as well.
Yeah, man.
Oh, my God, dude. It was the thing that's cool is everyone keeps it really lean, even keel. Like, Andy the Water as a band, it's really cool because everybody believes in this thing that's kind of not them playing on the stage. Like, they realize it's a very big collective thing, you know? And that's what I've really, really loved about doing it, is that as much as, like, I feel on that stage, I just feel like everything is, like, just happening so, like, you know, harmoniously. So everybody keeps it cool. Everybody keeps it even keel. We got a great group of pros, man. Everyone's pro musicians. They just want to, they want to make good music, and they want to. It's about like the integrity of the music, you know. And working collectively, you know, great individuals. We're super grateful for that. So,
Very cool.
That's awesome, man.
What festivals you guys playing this year? You got a couple?
I just saw you guys on the bottom of something with that's
just the way you put that. I'm sorry.
No, but it's like that's how everybody starts out, man. That 12 it's font, true. That it's 12 true. Font right there. It's dude, like, dude, I'll we made it.
Yeah.
But you're with like Pigeons, right?
Yep.
Pigeons is headlining the fest.
Yep, that's gonna be a super dope one.
The Adirondack Fest.
Great.
Yes.
Great festival. Have you heard about that one?
I heard about it. Yeah,
dude.
Jared Hartstone, right?
Yep.
Jared Hartstone, an old friend.
Promotes it. Dave Eman puts the kind of thing together. He kind of headsteamed the whole thing. And then Jared Hartstone, awesome guy.
Great friend
promoter.
Of mine.
Yeah. We just did an event with Pink Talking Fish at the Putnam Place. And a few hundred people in there. Super awesome
That's
show.
That's a cool spot.
It's a great... Dude, it's cool because that place is super transformed. Like how the old Putnam Den was.
Yeah.
The Putnam Place.
Well, they had new investors come in, right, and redo the place? Is that what happened?
Yep. So something happened, and then a new thing kind of, like, evolved from that. But they really cleaned it up. Like, the bathrooms are clean. Like, you know, the green room is much larger.
Oh, good.
It used to literally be, like, behind stage, and it was just, like, a bunch of stuff. Everything's top of the line. Like, they have a back LED wall. So, like, if you got a guy that does LED stuff, you can imprint all your logos. They put your font up there, your logo and everything.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and then they've got a good setup for the lights, but they took out one of the ceiling parts, so it's just a much more better show, I think, audibly, too.
Mm-hmm.
It is. So it's a really, really cool room. We did a thing with Jared Eamon, so we got that. That festival's awesome. Really great place. We're doing the Woods Fest at Woods Valley, and then... That's going to be August... August.
Mike, you're watching.
Come on.
Yeah, Mike's watching. He should post it up. I'm like, I could go to the Facebook thing and look it up.
Sometime in August, we're going to be playing.
Yeah.
At Woods Valley. This is the second year of doing Woods Fest,
yes,
right?
Woods
Just keep
Fest,
your
yes.
ear to the ground.
Were you there last year?
We weren't there last year, but we've been doing these shows at Woods Valley that have just been like...
They're killer, man. Yeah. Have you been, Z?
Unfortunately, I haven't, and I need to get up there.
I think I've seen Annie in the Water there, I want to say, at least three times.
Okay.
At least three.
Did you guys just do a St. Patrick's Day thing?
We did St. Patty's Day, and that was phenomenal, dude. There was 400 people running around.
Nice.
And, like, nobody skied, and then suddenly it just, like...
Utica Club's flying.
Yeah. Actually, people were skiing that day. There's another day that we played after.
August 10th is Woods Fest, too.
Yes, thank
August
you.
10th.
August 10th is Woods Fest. Annie in the Water's playing there, and Old Main as well.
God, I love those guys.
Dude, I love them, too, man. It's funny. I was talking to Matt today when we were putting the stage together, and I was like, dude, I had this memory of the first time that we played Saranac Thursday. It was Brad, myself, and Lucas, and we used to do a looping thing. So we'd beatbox. Yeah, I had to do it because the microphone sounds so nice. Shit sounds
Let's
nice.
Let's do a beatbox jam in a little bit.
Yeah, beatbox jam for sure. We're going to have a beatbox jam. Hope you're into that, guys.
Anyways, the Old Main.
It's just funny hearing you. You got a good dialed in mix, I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So, Old Main, those guys. We went to this old bank yesterday and recorded Seth and Nash on our new record. We have a new record coming out this summer. We're actually doing June 21st, which is a summer solstice.
Ooh,
we're
I was
doing
about to say that.
Our album release show at the Westcott.
Oh,
first
get
time
out.
Headlining
nice.
Westcott.
Great.
Theater.
Beautiful.
Yep. So we're super stoked.
And
about
when's
that
again?
That's June 21st.
June 21st.
Summer solstice. So the coolest part is we just had a. We went to this random bank, and it was wicked last minute, but we're like, Seth, Nash, can you guys come and record with us? And they were like, yeah. They came right through and crushed vocals. We had Gia Fanina from Nina's Brew on it, too. So we just all stood around this microphone and just sang and for like 2 hours straight, and it was just like unreal. Those guys, man, I love what they do, and they're great for this scene, too, man.
Yep.
We brought Nash over to Woodland Brewery with us after we did the recordings and stuff, and he walks in. It's like... People are just like, and it's like they're drawn to him as a humble, good musician, you know? Like what you just see what music does for these people in this area. It's absolutely phenomenal. These are demographics of like, I mean, they're all retirees, man. They're freaking raging on a Sunday, like midday. And all of them are like, you know, 50 plus and just, and they love our stuff too. It's like, man, that is so cool to see. Such a cool response. And it's just cool to see how Old Main is just like, they're so talented, and they work so hard, but they do it for the right reasons, I guess, you know?
Such a cool vibe, too.
Wicked, wicked.
I like that whole Americana, deep roots type feel to them, and then they're just great songwriters.
Yeah, they are.
They write some great songs.
They really are.
I'm interested in hearing that album. So when's the album coming out? On the 21st, right?
Yep.
Now let me ask you a few questions. I've been asking a lot of these bands this, that come out with albums. Do you feel it's worth it to like press CDs anymore?
That's an interesting question. What we want to do is, or what we're going to be doing is pressing CDs, because what's been happening is we're playing all of our songs during the show, and we definitely, like, the people that are actually spending money are the older demographics, and they are like, where's the CD?
They're still using CDs. Okay.
Yeah, still popping them in the computer, you know, or even like in their CD players. But the thing is, it's something physical. But what we're going to be doing also is the USBs. Going to be getting those going too. We're going to pretty much, what's going to happen is our whole merchandise setup is going to be completely rehauled after the album, because the last album we had was 2011, and that's on Spotify, and I love it. They're cool songs, but they're kind of like, Brad and I wrote those in college and stuff, and they're good and we produced them, but like they're just not very as developed as our songs now. Our songs are much more different, they're much more composed, and so it's we're just going to get the CDs out just so that people have them at the merch booth. You know, it's like, that's what they're, and like, we want to sign them and everything, gives them an opportunity to sign something too. I don't look at it as something like they're going to take the CD, they're going to put in their special CD player, and then they're going to put the CD on the wall and then frame it. You know, it's like, I know they're going to take it and be like, oh, that's kind of, shh.
It goes right in the player.
Yeah, totally. And whatever the platform they use it for. But the USBs is definitely what we're looking to do moving forward. And the streaming stuff, the most importantly is, we're building up our online media outlets, because Spotify is obviously, Spotify is the way to go, you know?
Love it.
And I
every minute.
They're a bunch of crooks, though.
Dude, unfortunately they are. I don't know. See, that's the thing, is like, we could go deep into my personal beliefs about stuff. But I also do represent a band, and they all, actually we all have very shared values. But it's weird, because I think with me personally is, I just feel that the music is going to do the work, you know, and essentially that's what it is. I'll down the road financially, like, I have no fear of not making a lot of money, but the more I focus on the craft of it, the music, how a show will go, how the people are involved, like, not only like off the stage, on the stage, people like working with the security and stuff like that, like, you'd be surprised at how even those interactions are a huge part of what influences us to make a song.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain guys that we'll talk to from security or stuff like that, and they'll be like, well, yeah, you know, I listen to, you know, a little, love Zeppelin, you know, that's my thing. Or like somebody who tells me some random reggae band, we'll actually sometimes learn like certain songs or styles, just so like I'll actually be like, I want that one. That one, we gotta win over my buddy, like this Eric dude. Like, I swear to God, if we do this reggae drop, he's gonna be blown away, and then he'll come in and believe what's going on here, you know. So, I think with all those, the intentions of all that stuff is gonna bring the financial back to it. And I think, you know, it is kind of tough when your song is getting streamed for like a microscopic piece, but I just believe that. I mean, the merchandise and like events and shows, and obviously I'm not trying to like run myself ragged for the rest of my life, but I think there's going to be opportunities for me to be able to pursue different ways of financial abundance that comes, kind of envelopes and grows out of what Annie in the Water is. So
if you keep putting out good product, man, the money will finally fall into place.
Totally.
You know, it will. It's just putting out good product.
Yeah.
And that's the name of the game, really. And longevity, too.
Totally.
And if you get some longevity and get some years under your feet and you're out there doing it and
I second
it,
that.
You know, you look at some of these bands, like look at a band like Twiddle.
Like, usually
Twiddle's
like a 10-year.
Been doing it. Yeah, usually like a 10-year you could start making it, or an Aqueous that's been out for about 10 years now.
Yep.
Or Pigeons.
Pigeons.
All these guys, Twiddle's another one.
It's about 10 years, man. It's like you just that constant grind, the constant hustle, 10 years, because like Westcott Security, we're at 10 years now.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And we're doing major venues. You know what I mean? Like we have too much work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And like after, you know, some people get lucky. You know what I mean? There's always the luck that's involved. But like if it's the constant work, 10 years.
Yeah.
Like almost hands down, everybody that is like in the music business before they got like where they are today,
mm-hmm.
I'd say it's about a 10-year. Like
Absolutely.
Constant even keel, you know, across the board.
And then the other thing, too, about selling merchandise and stuff, you really can't make money off CDs anymore. So you actually have to go out there and really hit it. You notice a lot of these bands all have side hustles nowadays, too.
Oh, absolutely.
They all have side hustles. There's always someone out there who's got hash oil pens or who's selling, you know, growlers and who's got their own beer now.
Yeah, open the bar.
So it's who's got their own coffee. Like, all these bands have these side hustles. Mm-hmm. It's the only way they keep relevant and keep, you know, sustaining.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's I think it's important. You guys got – are you working on side hustles, if you will?
Yes, we actually do have a side hustle. We have a
$50.
It's not. And it is Electric Company. Electric Company. I got to win you back, my friend.
You won me years ago, pal.
That's what I love. Sick. Z, this is so cool that it's happening right now. So side hustle. Shoot, I should have brought a bottle of it, but I didn't. I'm sorry. I forgot about that. But we did have the Green Mountain treats. I brought Z some awesome treats from Green Mountain Cannabis Club up in Vermont that we work with. Super awesome dudes. Matt Appleman, super great guy. And I told him I was going to be hanging out with a friend that would appreciate this stuff. And he's really similar to you. He's like
the funk doctor.
The
right
funk
here.
Doctor, dude.
I'm going to drink this and talk to Freak Bass on Thursday.
So what
I got
is that?
Freak Bass coming in Thursday. I'm going to drink all of this and talk to him.
What kind of special elixir do you got there?
This is the funk juice, right? It's the funk doctor, New England High Times Cannabis Award winner in 2017. I'm thinking I can only do a shot of this, though, right?
Well,
this
you want to pass it around like a bottle of hooch? Yeah.
You want to, like...
You want to be some of these honky guys out in Rome?
Like what's a tablespoon.
Tablespoon?
Tablespoon, start out
okay.
with tablespoon.
Just like it's Robitussin.
Absolutely. It is Robitussin.
So this is like 500 milligrams and stuff.
Yep. So, but that's actually not... well, we do work with them actually directly as playing shows, though. Matt Appleman's a great promoter. And... and we just like working with this company. He's been super, super kind to us. He gives me, obviously, and the band great gifts, you know. but he, it's kind of like we've started like building. We've actually had people come to us with different ideas for businesses. One branded piece of Annie in the Water merchandise that is a side hustle is we have an Annie in the Bottle. What it is there's a whiskey. Company up in Alex Bay, New York. So it's all boutique right now, but we've been getting more demands for people to have these bottles in the bars and stuff, but it's only boutique, so you can only sell it out of the place called Dark Island Spirits in Alex Bay, New York, and our name of the bourbon, it's an apple bourbon, apple brandy, sorry, called Annie in the Bottle. And it's actually, they built a device, a distilling device, where it's a speaker, like a tube that goes into the barrel, and the frequencies of the music get into the whiskey and churn it so the flavors get moving around.
That's fun.
And so our music, Annie in the Water music, 24/7 is being pumped into this whiskey barrel. And then they...
How cool is that?
And it's pretty cool. It's good. It's funny because like the first year he's like, yeah, it's an apple brandy. Like, dude, that shit is like aging quickly. It's like... it was like the first year looked like somebody peed in a bottle, you know, like pretty well hydrated. And then like the next one is like, that's whiskey. Like it's just so many shades darker and it's great. It's a great product. Like, and I'm not just saying that, you know, my band, there's different members that really like their bourbons and whiskeys. And you know, we try to really look at it like, you know, objectively, we're like, man, this is just a good product. So that's a piece that we're working with. But we also have there's other stuff that we've been developing. It's just that we're very particular about who we work with.
Yeah,
you know?
You have to be.
Yeah.
Too many shasty people around here.
Yeah,
shasty.
Totally, totally. That's why there's certain people like at Matt Appleman from Green Mountain. He's super, super awesome. We love working with him. And it's like a family thing, you know. We have different people that we do different trades for and stuff like that. And that's kind of how we've built our whole community. Like our business is very, very different than typical, you know, management company or like somebody working for different booking agency or anything like that. Like we still do it ourselves. We still want to make sure that we're building this thing that's, you know, individual to us, mm-hmm. that we can build. We're so detailed on it. We're just really trying to do that. So there will be opportunities down the road. They're already coming in, but we're still trying to be like there's a part of us that are still like, well, we put this album out, you know, we're still like, you know, we have a plan, we have a 3-year, 5-year, 10-year plan. We want to, you know, make sure that we're working hard and we're being precise about stuff. But we're also like letting things happen. There's a level of like, you know, you can talk and work so much, but there's a part of listening to let stuff in too, you know, can't learn if you don't listen.
Right.
It's an interesting thing. How and then my side hustle is I do the solo stuff on the side, man.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great little thing, and I get to go all over the dog. I travel with my dog all over the country. So.
What? What's the matter?
I wish I could put the camera on her right now. She's so cute.
Tess, come here.
No, she's fine.
Yeah.
That computer and the tail, I don't think that's a good combination.
Well, you are the showman, dude. She sees it, dude. She's like, give me attention, dude.
I love it.
See, why don't you give me attention?
I love
now?
It. And I will. I will, yeah. After the podcast is done.
Absolutely. Yeah,
she's got a good puppy smile over here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's cute as a butt. She's so cute.
She's a great gal to have on the road, for sure.
So are you gigging like 4 or 5 nights a week then? Not just the band, but you.
The band, it's really dependent upon seasonality. Mm-hmm. Right now, I actually have a really cool solo run that I'm doing up to... I'm doing... The first one is actually at this place called Ledge Hill Brewery. It's up in Westport. It's up in the Adirondacks, dude. It's a small, honky little joint, but it actually used to be an animal or veterinary spot. So she gets to, like, literally run around this place. They're all just petting her, taking care of her.
Oh, she must love it.
And I play for like 2 hours. And Matt up there is another Matt owner. I seem to be working with like a bunch of Matts, by the way. I just realized this. Like, so many Matts. There must be something good about Matthews or something.
It's your spiritual name.
Yeah, right. Mine's Michael Joseph LeSean.
Your spiritual guide. Yeah. His name is Matt.
I'm here, Michael. Thank you, Matt. But I do that. And then Saturday, I'm playing at Sackett's Harbor Brewery. It's this big, high-ceiling room, all wood interior, and it's really cool vibes in there. And then Sunday, I play this little, like, a lake or a riverfront place in Clayton. And it's really cool. The solo stuff is great because I have such an awesome relationship with people just from me even just going into places and just, like, hanging out. And they're just like, yeah, you can play here. And then, like, it does well, and I'm able to make, you know, a few $100 like doing a solo thing. So I'll pad that on off weekends, and then Anning the Water's priority. So we have our summer schedule right now that's packed. So my solo stuff, whenever there's time free, I'll just put that right in there, you know, make a chunk of change, and then go back into Anning the Water stuff. And it's great. It works. It feeds everything. And then I have a side project band, actually, that you would be interested in. Called Quantum Cosmic. It's like this big, funky, groovy, totally different thing. We played at Woods Valley, actually, and it's a dude. It's a great, great show. It's like Annie in the Water, but take the scripting away, but like infuse like maybe a couple more like horsepower of jam. Like it's a very big jam funk band. It's like
cool.
It's like Wolfpack meets a little bit of Fish and
really,
Dead. Yeah. But we play original stuff, but then we play like just jam covers and stuff like that. And it's pretty cool stuff. We don't have anything available online, which is the bummer part. But like, it's a show that I'm telling you, it's. I love Annie in the Water because it's something really cool. Quantum Cosmic is like where it's like my playground. I get to just like, and everybody's just put such a good platform for each other. It's like nice. The vibe is insane. Yeah,
very cool.
You're gonna have to check that out sometime.
Right on. Is there? How could people find you online though? If they're interested in checking you out online,
Quantum Cosmic,
any of it, all of it.
Yeah,
how about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's start with Annie in the Water first.
Yeah, absolutely. So our Instagram is at Annie in the Water or Annie in the Water at Annie in the Water is our Instagram. Go check that out. That and then our Facebook. We're very active with our Facebook as well. So our Instagram, we pretty much revolve everything around our Facebook and our Instagram. But we have a very prominent YouTube channel. If you look up Annie in the Water on YouTube, there's tons of videos there. But for social media, Annie in the Water or Facebook.com, Annie in the Water will have of all the updates and things like that. And then Instagram's kind of like the behind the scene, kind of like us messing around or shows and flyers and all that other stuff, you know.
So who is Annie? What body of water did you find her in?
Yeah.
We found her in, it was so Brad, the lead singer and myself, we were both playing lacrosse in college and I had a friend from high school who played lacrosse who was like, you should meet this kid on my lacrosse team. Like, he's got these songs. They're pretty cool. I think that you'd, because I was always, like, playing around the campfire in high school, you know, and my friends are always like, you should just, like, do this. And but I was a Division I lacrosse player along with Brad.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, so it's like, it just takes your time, you know. And even coaches, when they used to be like, oh, would you go and play in shows, late night shows, and hauling out and doing? I'm like, dude, give me a break, bro.
Always got to be a critic, right?
Yeah, man. Like I used to snowboard and stuff in college, and because you sign a contract, and like, dude, they kind of own like a lot of your future, more than you. Not at bad. It wasn't bad, but if I got hurt snowboarding, I'd lose my scholarship. So I actually quit snowboarding for like 2 or 3 years. And now I'm like way into snowboarding and music. So like all the things that my teachers said I should stop doing, it's like, music's not going to get you where you need to go. You'll be a great salesman, okay? And then in lacrosse, they were like, I had a teacher write home, Michael needs to stop snowboarding so much and needs to do more homework. So all the things I was told not to do is now like a massive part of my life. I work with tons of different snowboard companies. I work with Darkside Snowboards. I help promote them. I don't use that as like something to financially. It's just they give me good gear and I love those guys.
But, it's a cool place too.
It is.
I like skating that little half pipe that's in there.
Yeah, they're actually doing a rebuild on that too. They did a community outreach and like did great. They raised a bunch of funds and there's like they just have people come over and help them like gloss it over and build it up nice. It's cool. They're super good folks, man. They're all about the scene.
Yeah, it's place apart. It's about as big as this room.
Oh, yeah.
Like yeah, and it's a super big fucking snowboard place that's out in where is it, Burlington?
Well, there's Okemo. There's Okemo that has one that's a little smaller, but the Killington spot is pretty big with the half pipe in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a kind of like yeah, it's actually like fairly big. But then there's the other location is in Billy Langland's gonna wish I could just be like wait what's
hey, bud.
Okemo Killington and
oh,
Stowe.
Actually, I should have said that differently. Stowe.
There you go.
So stoically.
Aspen in northern Vermont.
Wow, you should do voiceovers.
Yeah.
I never. Be the new rated R guy.
You could do the tourist the tourist commercial for Vermont. There you go.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Mike Marone saying you guys rocked it at Woods Valley that night.
Oh, yeah. Mike Marone. Holler to Mike Marone. Great dude. Yeah,
good people.
A great time, man. Yeah, the vibe in Woods Valley is insane. Tim Woods over there, he reached out to us after we dropped a video called Hey, I'm on My Way because we did a tour out to Jackson, Wyoming and Steamboat doing a snowboard
trip.
Very
cool.
I just wanted to go snowboarding so friggin' bad out there that we built a tour around it. Lost a lot of money, but had a really good time. And but we played at Denver Broncos Stadium, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the owner's son sets up the show, and it was kind of his little pet project. So we played literally like right down the stairwell, right behind the friggin' like big statue, like Bronco, right in front of the main doors. And we're playing for the first hour, and I'm like, we're just like, oh man, nothing's happening here.
There's a lot of cool bars right outside that stadium, man.
Yeah, well, dude, so they had us go in this avenue, and like they just set up beer vendors all along it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're playing there. I was like, man, I wonder when this thing like hits off. And there's this like school bus of these people blasting like these like Mexicano like drum beat songs like the speaker at us. We're like, and we're doing looping at the time. We're like, oh, this is quite difficult. and then 40 minutes before the game starts, it's just there's like 4,000 people. We had like crappy speakers and stuff. And somebody's like Freebird, and we were like, yeah, let's do this. Freebird at Denver Broncos Stadium. Like, I can say that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like as glorious, and our payout was like free tickets and food.
And you got to play the Broncos Stadium.
Exactly. So then we hit up right up to Wyoming. So Tim Woods watched this video, long story short, sorry. He sees the video. He's like, you should come and check out my joint. You know, I have these bands and stuff. And he kind of had, like, different local bands there. But he booked so much. He books out, like, it's like 40 acts. I think he has, like, 40-plus acts a season at Woods Valley. Small
wow.
little ski spot. You know, like, he does the right stuff to make that happen. And we started, the first time I played there, I felt like I was, like, home, you know. And I just was like off the wall. And he's like, I love you guys, you know. And Brad did great. And Brad loves it there. He's like, Tim's like another brother for us. And our shows there, just they envelope, man. Like it's just gotten such a good local response. Great shows, man. You would totally dig them, dude.
Nice.
The vibe is off the charts. Off the charts fun.
Well, if I got nothing going on August 10th, I'm going.
Mm.
I got to check my calendar. My calendar's crazy. Wasn't that the weekend of, like, Woodstock or something?
That would be the next weekend.
The next weekend? Okay.
Is Woodstock happening?
I doubt it.
The financial backer is backed off. But, like,
that,
the promoter guy is like, yeah, man, we're still doing it. But he's got no money. So
it's jinxed.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I mean, he's saying, like, whatever this guy's doing is, like, off-brand or something like that. But, like, what is the Woodstock brand?
I don't know. I'm even going on record saying that Watkins Glen is jinxed. The venue.
Oh, really?
Jinxed. I was there last year for Curveball for the whole week setting that show up
for
Fish.
Oh, my gosh,
and
dude.
They called it, like, on Thursday night. Like, this
yeah.
show
well,
isn't
that was
happening.
A terrible downpour. Man.
It was. But
I was there for Magna Ball.
For Magna Ball, too.
In 2015, mm-hmm. and that was kick-ass.
Yeah, it was.
I won the Magna Ball that I didn't even stay on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, man. It was that much
fun. Do we want to go down? What exactly did you win?
Yeah, Anthony, what'd you win?
The Magna Ball.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the proverbial Magna Ball.
Okay.
Oh, that one.
So yeah, you won one. The Magna Ball.
I won. Wow. I won it, and I went home with the trophy, man.
Why am I finding out about this 4 years later?
Because no one knew that there was a trophy that I won.
Mm-hmm. What's it look like?
It looks
like a big Magna Ball.
Yeah, man. You'll see at Quantum Cosmic. Sphere.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. Yes. I'm so happy to hear that. I would love to see it. We're going to have to get like a couple extra trucks, just haul it in.
Yeah, man.
Matt will be like, so I'm supposed to put my lights up right there. What the hell is this? I was like, that's where the Magna Ball is going to go. Have you not talked to Anthony yet?
We're going to have to get round trussing.
Yes.
That's how it's going to have to happen. Mike Coley's saying they have a new backer now for Woodstock.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I didn't know either.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, they need 1,100 persons or personnel for security, and I think they're going to hire out 440 police officers for the gig.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like a really tight, you know, and they're going out farther wide for security as well.
Yeah.
You know, they're not just going
to
like...
They got to outsource to a couple companies.
Well, it's a couple companies, but they're not just going to do it like right on site where Watkins Glen is going to be. They're going to like go farther out like and, you know, redirect traffic and stuff like that.
Were you guys up for that bid or something?
We always put ourselves in. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just because we want to get a little piece of Woodstock.
Oh, for sure.
That would be really cool. Just to get the exposure, you know, because we do a lot of stuff down in Ithaca too. So why not?
Huh.
So we'll see what happens.
But half of me wants to work that gig, and the other half doesn't. Because that half that doesn't is like thinking, I'm probably not going to get paid.
Yeah,
you know, I'm going to do all this work and excuse me, and not get paid.
Right.
So, or does like 100,000 people show up and then just
gonna be
smash
nuts.
The gates?
Mm-hmm. like dude, they have before.
Yeah, totally.
Like, what are tickets? Like 400 and something bucks? I was hearing
something like that.
And that's just like. GA.
Yeah.
That's a hefty price load right there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. To me, it's got Firefest written all over it.
Yeah, man.
It's going to be Firefest 2.
Yeah. It's interesting to see, like, because when I was younger, I used to study Woodstock. Like, I was always really into, like, even when I was, like, 10 years old, I was really into, like, Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton, Cream specifically. I was, like, a huge Cream fan when I was 10 years old. And then I got into punk music, like, I think everyone. And I like 10-foot pole and a lot of ska stuff too. I like Voodoo Glow Skulls and stuff like that. I kind of like ska. I used to be a skateboarder all day, bro. Actually, I still skateboard every day. But it's just interesting that when I was like so obsessed with you, like Woodstock, then you like see it now, you know, like it's. And I was talking with our hand percussion player Brock about nostalgia. Like it's you know what I mean? Like, what is that, man? Like, and he's like. Man, Brock's like a super stoic, like, we call him Swamp Man because he lives out in Morristown, like, pretty much in a swamp, and he plays the hand drums. He goes, brother, I just play the bad spirits away, you know? he's a comic book character. And the thing is that, like, he was talking to me about it. He was like, man, it's just weird, dude. Like, I feel like when stuff is just done, like, that's just it. You're done. And then I was like, yeah, Woodstock. Because, like, you have this thing that was so amazing that happened. Then it was, like, early 90s, I tried it. Late 90s, you know, pretty tough go at it. And I was watching it and when I was in high school. I wanted to go to Woodstock so bad. My parents were like, yeah, you're not. And I didn't really have a car or anything to go. But, like, I watched the whole thing on the MTV, like, or pay-per-view, actually.
Pay-per-view.
I watched it all on pay-per-view. And I watched all that shit go down, like... And it pretty much turned into an absolute disaster zone. Like, it turned into, like, and I was a fan of, like, all those bands, like, you know, Limp Bizkit, like, Rage Against the Machine and
Korn.
Everything. Yeah, and, like, you saw what happened. I was like, shit, man, like, I don't know if, like, this is smart to go and do. And then, like, same thing is, like, because it was, like, waters were expensive, food was expensive on site. They really jacked the price up in all these other ways. And, like, people just got really pissed off. I'm like, man, you're starting tickets out of 450. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's doomed.
But if the magic's there, dude, you never know. The magic is always there. It can be the most seedy festival ever and something, like, glorious. Like, this little angel appears out of nowhere or something. It's interesting, man. Festivals are...
Serendipitous moments.
Yes.
You'll find them. They're there.
Dude.
Silver linings. I like this kid.
Festivals, dude, they're just... It's honestly like another dimension.
They are.
It is.
You know?
Like, I love the art installments. I love the fact that people just, like, let their freak flag fly. You know, like, you see it from one end. I see it from another end. And then, you know, and then like Z's on the production side, so he sees it from the other end, you know what I mean? It's usually the ass end.
I usually am the one that want to kill everybody by the end of the festival. Where everybody's like so happy-go-lucky, like, I wish we could do this every day. No, I don't.
Nope.
Yeah, I've got change over in 10 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. But the festivals are where it's at. I mean, you guys play festivals, so you can, you know, you do good at the festivals in the summertime, so you can play the bars in the fall and winter.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the way it goes. That's the cycle it goes on.
It is.
I mean, it's a necessity to be involved in the music festival scene, mm-hmm. you know, as a musician.
Absolutely. No, it's huge because it there's I mean, in the past, like, we booked festivals and then we book like other things, so we'd like hang for just a little bit, and then it's like, oh man, there's like this thing that happens even when you play the festival and you crush it too, like something like really great happens, you know, like we're always there, we're like super, I mean, we're hungry, we've been doing this for a long time, but we've always really remained like very stoked. I'm like, let's give them a great show, man. Let's do some kick-ass shit, you know? And so festivals give you, like, this canvas to be like, okay, go do stuff.
Yeah.
And then you just, like, you get festivals, there's such a, typically, you get a really open, like, forum to just, like, sing and do your own thing. And we've just had some really great response. Some are like, you know, that was a good show. And then some of them, like, it just trickles. And then we'll go out and talk to people and, like, we'd just be having multiple people talking about it. Word of mouth, man. Like, word of mouth is still the most powerful
indeed
form of it, because everybody becomes a storyteller in their own way. You know what I mean? Everybody has their own show experience that they had. You know, they were going through some shit earlier that day and they didn't want to go to the show, and their friend dragged them out, and they go to the show and they have the most kick-ass time, and then they tell their mom and dad about it, you know? And then their mom and dad are like, yeah, well, somebody was telling us about Annie in the Water, or like, or whatever band that might be, you know? And we've just found that, like, the festivals, the word of mouth, the way that it, like, the interaction happens, it's like, you know, we go and we talk to our fans, we talk to the venues, we talk to the vendors, we always do. We've always, like, that's why, like, I love these guys, you know, like, a lot of security. Like, I'll go into when I, like, load in and stuff, I'll, like, one of the first people you see is security. Like, why don't you, like, be homies with them first, you know? Some of them can be kind of just like, look, man, I'm just here to, like, do this and get out of here, so, like, stop talking. But most of them
are I'm here to make friends.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, the first...
Yeah, I've seen that before, and I'm like, got it, no worries, here's your space.
The first rule that Chucky ever taught me, Chucky Love, I'm going to give him a little shout-out right now, when I first started working with the crew.
Don't sit down when you're working.
Two things. Get in with security and get in with the caterer.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, dude,
two things. Sure. Those are the two people you got to get in with.
Dude, security knows. Sure.
I just
knows
gave
security.
Out all the secrets now. Damn it.
Dude, well, catering, that's like when you're done busting ass. Like, you go up and be like, hey, could you make me a plate? I don't know if I'm going to be here in 40 minutes or 4.5 hours.
Right.
And they're just like, there's that thing you were asking for. Yeah.
Like, you've been sitting there for like 20 minutes, man.
And usually the caterer is like some old Italian mom. Like, here you go, honey. You know, she wants to feed you.
Exactly.
You know, type of thing.
Festivals are cool, too, because if you do a crusher set and a vendor's there and they see your set, they'll be like, hey, that's for free.
Something
you're
else.
Like, yeah, we did good. You always know.
Best
you're
words
good.
Ever.
When the food vendor's like, don't worry about it.
It's on the good. House.
Yeah, we have Nacho, the pizza guy. The guy does the pizzas on Paper Mill Island.
Oh,
yeah.
Sal.
Dude,
Sal's Sal. Pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Awesome dude.
Dude,
good
that's
pizza.
A good pie.
Do you know what he had this week?
What do you have?
Salt potato pizza. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Oh, my gosh.
No.
It's incredible. Salt? A salt potato pizza and a bacon on it.
Well, you're in
salt
City, salt man.
Potatoes. It was incredible.
Well, that sounds that's right that's up their alley.
So good. And it was that dude.
Lucan's going to be like, what about these potato pizzas?
What about these potato pizzas? Huh?
Dude, he's a great guy, man. Sal was a great guy. He helped us out, too. We were like, he could tell that we were trying to like have everybody taken care of. And he's like, look, here's the pizzas. Give me like $20.
You eat.
Yeah, I'm like, guys.
You get the hell out of here.
Just use guys.
Taylor wants to know when she's going to see you jam at Red Rocks.
Ooh.
Man.
That's always a calling for, I feel like, any traveling musician is to play Red Rock stage.
Well, even though it's, you know, it's a national park, so yeah. It's open all the time. So even if there's not a concert going on, you could just go tool around on the stage if you wanted to. And I've seen a lot of people just go bring in their guitars and just pretend they're performing at Red Rocks.
Instagram
absolutely.
It.
You know, it's a thing.
Get an Instagram story, bro. Hey, Matt, will you film me?
Yo, get it
wait,
from this
no,
angle.
That angle's not good.
Wait, I only shoot from the right. I'm only shooting from the right.
Yeah, dude, Red Rocks, yes, absolutely, absolutely. We would love to get to Red Rocks. Have you been? Yeah, no, I haven't. The first time I actually heard anything about it, I was 14 years old. The Incubus Live at Red Rocks DVD. Have you seen it?
I haven't.
No.
Watch it, dude. They do this crazy drum solo in it. The lead singer also did this digital artwork. And on the menu for the DVD, I mean, if anybody watches DVDs, you could click this button, like a butterfly would quickly appear on stage. And if you hit it when the butterfly was on, it went to his trippy ass 3D like stuff. Dude, it's a great DVD. I don't want to put it out there too much because I'll get lost. But it was the first time I was like, what is this venue? Like, what is this? You know? And that was the first time where I started like visionary questing, like, where do I want to go play? Like, what do I want to do? Like when I was 12 years old and I heard Blink-182's Damn It. And I was like, I can play guitar. And I'm like, I don't know shit of how to play guitar. Like it was weird when I was looking at Jimi Hendrix stuff and Cream, like I was obsessed with stuff and I wanted to learn how to play guitar so bad. But I was like, I have no idea. I would sit down with guitars and I'm like, how do you do this? Like, but I had this, like my spirit was like, you can play guitar, you know, you can play guitar. And then, you know, it was like, that was like, then I started like realizing like, you know, power of, you know, positive thinking and, you know, reformatting your brain and, you know, just building a new program. I just was ended up like started to, when I saw that Red Rocks DVD, like just formulating where I wanted to go, like Blossom Music Fest in Blossom in Cleveland, Ohio, I would love to get to, the Gorge and everything, different venues like that. But Red Rocks, you know, with the album happening, there's a lot of stuff that kind of has to happen to line up that we want to naturally kind of happen, you know? It's like, you know, Saturn comes around every 30 years. It's not like when it's 15 years, you're like, okay, get back here now, bro. It's like, we've worked really hard, but there's definitely relationships, venues, people that we still want to make sure that they see us, but we want to do it the right way. You know, we don't want to force ourselves. We don't try to force ourselves into situations. Like, we're very, very fortunate to have people calling us, and then, you know, our manager, Matthew, does a great job at building good relationships. And so, down the road, we'd love to do Red Rocks.
There a national tour in the works for you guys down the road? Or?
So we right now we have we just booked down Schoharie, North Carolina. There's the Grassroots. They do the event down there. The Grassroots from Ithaca. Mm-hmm. They have us coming on and down to North Carolina. So we're going down there. Very so we're going to build something around that. Go to over to Asheville and everything. So that's something that we're really, really stoked about. And then we want the album to kind of, we're focusing on the album right now, of saturating, and then we've got plans to just like crank. So right now there's so much material. Like, I don't know if you know, but like 2 years ago we had a different lineup. We had a different keyboard player, different bass player, and different drummer, mm-hmm. but it's Brad and myself. And awesome band, you know what I mean? But it was like having five head chefs in the kitchen, you mm-hmm. know? It's and so that happened, and then it kind of came to a point where there's differences of the direction of it, so those three left. And Brad and I stuck with it. And so now we have this band that's like, it's very collective and it's very brought together. And it's the formula that is like, the focus is there. Everyone's kind of like in this wagon on the Oregon Trail together, you know. Somebody goes down, you know, doctor's going to pick them up, or the teacher, you know. The teacher's got to get the rifle and hit the bison. But the thing is, we got a good group going right now, and we're kind of like, you know, our shows have always been really high energy, no matter who's on the stage with us. We really would like to build a really awesome vibe on the stage, so that like even when guests sit in and stuff like that, they can feel like they're in their own band too. We want to give that space to people. So with this new album and the stuff, we're going to try and crank out material as much as possible this next year and a half. So Red Rocks, I'm projecting about 2 years opening slot, a year and a half opening right. slot. That's what I'm thinking about.
You keep working, you'll get there, pal.
Yeah, totally.
You will get there. I know the same thing. I know the one guy that's been helping you out a little bit, Mr. Chaz Minivan's been helping these guys out a little bit. Yeah, man.
I've been seeing that, man.
Let me tell you, I love that kid. And I've been watching him grow since he was like 13 years old. He was like 14 years old playing at the Columbia and then have to go to school the next day.
Yeah. Yo,
and
totally.
Like the kid did not know how to plug in his guitar at the time. And like I've watched him grow, and I am super glad he's taken on a role with you guys a little bit, because I know he helps you guys out on the road a little bit.
Yes, he helps with production. Yep.
And you're helping him grow as a musician, and you're teaching him the business, man. And that's something those guys need, because Trampoline Jetstream, I don't know if you checked those guys out yet.
Fantastic energy.
Fantastic band. Yeah. And when Nick comes back a little bit and they got some, they're going to be a monster.
Yeah.
And I know they were playing just this past weekend doing a lot more instrumental or whatever.
Yep.
But when they come out full board again,
I like what they got going on, man.
And they got they're youth.
Yeah.
The youths. They're very young and they got time on their side, and watching them grow from where they were Glen Street and now they're into Trampoline Jetstream. It's
love
amazing.
The name change.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you're actually taking him under your wing, man.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, Adam and I met at
and it's great when you can like always combine a bill too.
Yes.
And that's the coolest part, because that's like now you got bands that are growing together. And then opening slot, yeah, come the fuck on, man. Mm-hmm. Opening slot. We've been traveling around. You know what I mean? So it's nice. It's not necessarily piggybacking or like coattails or anything
totally
like that.
Totally not that, yeah.
But it's just sharing the space, man.
Yeah, yeah, and we've been very particular about making sure that that's the case too, because if we play a show with the band, some bands are just like, hey, you know, they just want their space, and I get that. Artists are very different people.
Yes.
But, you know, when you hang out, like we just did a show with a pre-Disc Jam party at Club Metronome with the Elevators based out of Boston. They're kicking ass.
That
right
is
now.
A very cool band, man.
Dude, it was a great show. And this other band called Six Fox With You, which were crazy good, but we worked with them. Dude, it was like, right at the same time, we all just got in loading, and it was like we were always like homies. It was the craziest thing, yeah. Because their bass player is from the South, and I was like, yo, we opened up for Big Something in Syracuse, New York. He's like, dude, I love Big Something, man. It's crazy. Like, it's like the web just like it immediately got like linked up. So that's the cool thing with us is we always follow up and work with people that we really appreciate. Like, there's a, you know, there's got to be camaraderie. There's got to be a connection, mm-hmm. or else it just doesn't work. And there could be a band that just would fit perfectly for us on a bill, but they just don't work out. And and the thing that's crazy is we were going to see Stephen Marley at the Saranac Brewery, Matt and I, it was last summer, and we were like, it was like after a run, I was like, dude, we just, you know, sometimes you just gotta like step away and do something fun, like remember that, it's just, the music scene's friggin' awesome, and so Matt was working his tail off, and I was like, let's go to a show, dude, like, let's go to a show, let's go to the Saranac Brewery, and I saw Steve Marley opened up, I just say the Steve Marley show because it was so dope at the brewery, but then it was a reggae band, I can't believe Revolution.
Revolution. Thank you. I was trying to think of it too, and I couldn't remember.
July 11th.
Yeah. So I was, so we went to Lucan's like ahead of time to just hang out. And this kid and his friend were sitting there just talking. I'm always a chatter, you know? I don't know if you've noticed yet.
No, I haven't noticed.
You're kind of a chatter too. Anthony, you chat too, right?
Sometimes.
You use your mouth to talk words and stuff. So I went and I see these kids like hanging out, and I'm like, you know, Adam just had the long hair. He looked like goofball. And I was just like, I was like, hey, what's up, guys? How's it going, man? And they're like, hey, how's it going, dude? You know, like, and I just was like, yeah, I'm going to the show, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, Mike, Adam, blah, blah. Like, we hung out, and it was probably like a half an hour. I was just like, shit, this is where I got to be. These kids are cool cats. You know what I mean? And Matt's just there, like, and Matt walks over, and he's like, you know, just hanging out with us, and it's a good vibe. And then he's like, oh, you guys play music? And I was like, yeah, we play music. I was like, I play in a band called Annie in the Water. And Adam's like, dude, holy shit, no way. No way you do. I was like, yeah, I play. And he was like, this is the craziest thing because I, like, literally was just about to call whoever you guys are because I want to link up with you guys. I play in this band, Trampoline Jester, and I'm like, no way, dude. Like, yeah. I was like, hey, what's up, dude? He's like, dude, this is freaking nuts, man. I had no idea. He's like, thank you for telling me that. Like, and we just hung that. So I was like, sick. Well, let's kick it. So we hung out in Lucan's for like another hour, went over to the show, and then we needed a fill-in drummer.